Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Imagine a year where it's Fallout, but you can drive around like it's Mad Max.
Whoa, that sounds like an amazing year and an amazing movie and an amazing film.
It's 1977 and it was fucked over by Star Wars.
Oh no! Oh my god, where am I now? Oh, it's some sort of wasteland desert with a hot beating sun. It feels like 40 degrees. It smells. I must be in some sort of post-apocalyptic nightmare. This is the worst.
Traveler!
Oh my god, are you a crazy wasteland
Traveler.
Person?
That's a bit racist. I'm just a ghoul.
A ghoul?
Yes. I've been radioactively burnt all over my face. And everyone's racist towards me now. I'm a ghoul. You can still romance me, though.
Ooh.
Desert Traveler, you must be here for the papers.
The papers? What papers?
The papers of Vagas.
The papers of Vagas? What the fuck are you talking about?
Legend has it that down there...
Oh, my God.
...in that building... There are papers
building.
Of Vagas that you can get, and they will give you the Mooney.
This feels AI generated. I know it's not, but it feels it. Okay, I'll head over to this building. Huh? This looks pretty clean and modern. It doesn't seem abandoned at all. How long has this post-apocalyptic situation happening?
2 years.
2 years. Okay, that's pretty fresh, I guess.
Yes.
Have you been cleaning this building?
No.
Okay. How do we get in? How do we do anything here?
I'm just an NPC. You've got to figure it out.
All right, I'm going in.
Oh, the door. Asking me what to do.
Okay.
I'm not an IGN walkthrough.
Yeah, well, I thought you might be a tutorial or something.
I'm just a guy who got burnt 2 years ago and now I'm a ghoul.
Yeah, okay, all right. Oh, geez. With a bit of a smoking problem, apparently. Oh, hey, the automatic doors still work. Hey, there's a person at the front desk. Hello?
Hi.
I'm here for the papers of Vizier or something.
Ah, the papers of Vagas.
Ah, yeah, Vagas, yeah.
It's been 2 years since the bombs, and we've already started mispronouncing Vegas as Vagas.
Vegas? What are you talking about?
Why, that's where you are right now.
Vegas?
Back in the old times, they called this place Vegas.
In the old wait a minute.
Now we call it Vagas.
Hold that thought. I'm just going to go outside for 1 second. Hang on. This is just regular LA. This isn't a post-apocalyptic at all.
Yes, I'm wearing a mask. It's me,
Zach. Oh, no, Sandro, for fuck's sake. This is just regular LA.
You're just in Vegas in the 70s, except some bombs apparently fell, according
to
that guy.
Yeah, I guess.
You should probably go ask him about those bombs.
I don't feel like I want to go through that.
No,
I don't want to.
For the punchline of the bit, you should ask him about
the
bombs.
All right, I'll go ask him for the punchline.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, I'm back.
Hi.
We're just in LA. It's just regular ass LA. What the fuck did you mention about the bombs?
Why, a bunch of people won jackpots and took all my money.
Oh, fucking Christ. And now you call it Vigast?
Vigast.
Why?
I don't know.
Why do I need these papers?
Because it's me as well.
Oh, my God, Sandra.
I'm everyone.
I forgot this was a dream and I'm in a coma.
You're not. Comas don't exist.
Oh, my God.
You're not in a coma, but you are in Las Vegas in 1977 for the podcast Oldie But a Goodie, Zach.
Oh yeah, Oldie But a Goodie. Hey, what movie are we doing this week?
We're doing Damnation Alley.
Damnation Alley.
A movie that you watched and I watched and I also read and then ooh. I read the Wikipedia and this is going to be a long one, let me tell you that much.
Oh, okay, interesting. I'm excited to hear because I was watching this and I was thinking. Mm. I was thinking, one, Fallout. Two, Mad Max.
Yes.
Three, Star Wars.
Mm.
Because I think you previously mentioned at the end of last episode that Star Wars sort of overtook this movie, right?
This movie got fucked over because of Star Wars.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
I've seen both Star Wars and this, and Let me tell you, I know which one I'd rather see at the moment.
They came out, you know, it's 77. Star Wars has come out and ruined movies forever.
It's true.
Made them more commercial than they ever should have been.
Well, here's the thing.
Removed the creativity out of Hollywood.
Well, here's the thing. If you think about it, like, when Star Wars first came out, it wasn't like that. It was more like this film because it was old. But then George Lucas slowly updated it, added modern graphics and all these things, like, throughout the years. And I feel like it became more commercial.
No, Star Wars had lines around the block for, 4 months.
Yeah, no.
Word of mouth was huge, but it wasn't Yeah.
Yeah, but it didn't ruin Hollywood then.
It didn't ruin, the toys, but it didn't entirely ruin Hollywood.
Well, no, that's the thing. It came after that film that they started commercializing it. The new films came out, and it became bigger and bigger, and then it became a monster. At first, it was a mouse.
Mm.
It was a friendly
still a mouse,
Mickey Mouse.
Yes, we will be talking a lot about Star Wars in this episode because of the nature of the movie. As you mentioned, though, also Fallout, because this movie is just Fallout.
Kinda. It covers the same thing. That's the thing, right? Fallout is a video game about a post-apocalyptic scenario where nukes went off.
Yes.
And this movie is about a post-apocalyptic scenario where nukes went off.
Exactly.
Which isn't, you know, original. Like, people have done these things before. But this was an interesting take.
Because there's a lot in this where I'm like, I feel like Fallout took stuff from this. And they did, apparently.
Whoa, they did?
But also, this movie didn't do very well. We'll talk about that later. And Mad Max, because there's a fucking car.
Yeah, there's a car and it's post-apocalyptic.
That's right.
And I hate to say it, but watching Mad Max, watching this, I know which one I would rather see.
Well, I mean, the first Mad Max is close to this because it's relatively normal.
Yeah.
It's just there's cars. And then second Mad Max is where it kind of gets a bit crazier.
Yeah, I think I liked second Mad Max the most out of these vehicle post-apocalyptic things. Because they add a lot of, wacky shit that's going down.
I agree. This movie was...
I think this movie was good,
but the
problem is, the first half is very slow, and I'm going to say it, boring.
I think most of the movie is boring, which is interesting, because as soon as you walked in my house, you were I haven't finished the movie yet. But also, this is long, and that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Because this movie was meant to be 45 minutes longer, and I think if it was 45 minutes longer, it would be more interesting.
That's true,
Because they cut out everything, but just left stuff in about the car. Just to, to try and save the movie,
interesting.
They were like, we'll have it be the bare minimum a movie can be, which is 90 minutes, so that we can get the most sessions in per day and make money off of this, which is what they do now.
But that's wild that there was 45 minutes.
For 45 minutes of character stuff cut.
Wow.
Which, I'm like, in this scenario, I agree, the movie we watched is too long. But I think the way to fix it is to make it longer.
Yeah, no.
Because then more stuff in.
The problem was I wasn't invested in the movie because I didn't learn about any of the characters.
Yeah.
And I think it's deliberately a bit long at first. Like, it's a bit more epic. And it would have been more appropriate if the movie was longer. I shouldn't say that the movie was long. It felt long.
It drags so much.
It drags
a lot. It also feels like a Western more than a sci-fi.
Yes, yeah. Well, that's the thing. We've watched a lot of Westerns recently.
Yeah.
And it does follow the same sort of beats as a Western, which is quite interesting. I liked that, though.
I liked a lot of this.
Yeah.
There's It's not very good.
No.
We should get that out of the way.
Well, that's the thing. This was the Star Wars killer? This is the thing that they were like, this is going to be the big one and Star Wars isn't?
Yep.
God, executives are dumb.
I can get into the backstory of this now if you'd like, because it's pretty interesting. It's pretty interesting what happened with this movie.
Okay, well, is this non-spoilery or spoilery?
I feel like this is non-spoilery, because I won't mention plot-related stuff that was meant to be in the movie, but wasn't.
Okay, well, I'll mention that later. After, yeah.
But the movie itself, so it's based off a book called Damnation Alley by a sci-fi author called Roger Zelazny. Read it.
Yeah, I think I've heard of him before.
Yeah, he's done a bunch of like popular, like trashy sci-fi paperbacks.
Yeah,
and stuff like
I love
like
him.
That. I had a copy of the book, and the reason I had it was because it had from the producers of Star Wars on the top of it, which just meant the movie was made by Fox. That's all that means.
Yeah, yeah.
And for some reason, I was like, this book's written by George Lucas. And I was, like, too young to have... So I read the book last week, and I was way too fucking young. I'm glad I didn't read that.
Oh, nice.
Because, Jesus Christ, the book is not for kids.
Oh, really?
It's really short. It's, like, 4 hours long, but it is... I'll get into the plot of the book after we talk about the plot of the movie. So that you can be like, kind of wish I saw that.
Yeah.
But the book is fucking adult.
Which is funny, because all we see in this movie is we see some Tatars on a couple of posters at the start. And that's about it for, like, even the end, we have a bit of, like, oh,
they're going to assault her.
Yeah, but it doesn't happen. So no. It's, like, it's very PG.
It is pretty PG.
Whereas, there's a bit of blood, maybe, but back then that would have been nothing.
It's a bit of horror, like, your body horror with one of the characters at some point.
But that's about it. Whereas, by the sounds of it, it gets nitty and gritty.
So what happened was they got the rights for the book.
Yeah.
They turned it into a script.
Nice.
And they got the author's, like, thumbs up on that script that they wrote.
Oh, nice.
And the script was pretty close to the book. It expanded a little bit on the world and stuff.
That makes sense.
But, you know, it was
pretty movie.
Close. And the problem was, though, the book is so sci-fi. It's kind of like what happened to Dune when they were making that in the 70s.
The David Lynch version?
The Jodorowsky version.
Oh,
the one
okay.
before David Lynch.
Yep.
There's an interesting documentary about it.
Interesting. Yeah.
It's kind of similar to that. They didn't have the technology to make the movie.
Yeah. Because that's something I was actually thinking about while watching this film, is that it looks old and it feels old,
which is
like
interesting
old
compared
Star
to Star Wars.
Wars.
Well, because like even the Star Wars theatrical cut, I've got them, the original
theatrical cut
of Star Wars before George Lucas fucked with it all.
Yeah.
Even that looks better than this.
Yeah, but like it still has little things like the plans of the Death Star is on like a little CD thing. Which kind of makes sense-ish, doesn't
it?
But
into the
world. They've worked it into the world as much as they can. But there was like a things age.
Yeah.
Fun fact:
like
and
one
so,
of the droids in Empire Strike Back is just an ice cream machine.
Yeah. And it's funny.
Yeah, exactly. So they didn't have the technology at the time. So instead of putting the script to the side, they got a new author in to basically rewrite the whole book.
Oh my god!
And he changed everything.
Oh my god.
The story of the movie has nothing to do with the book. Like, there's nothing lines up aside from one character's last name.
Wow.
It doesn't line up at all. However, the author of the novel had no idea about any of this.
Really?
So he went and saw the movie and went, but the script that I read...
Yeah, it was completely different.
Was my
wow.
book. What happened here?
Wow, that's really bad.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But Fox wanted a hit, so what they did was they took this remade script that's nothing like the book. They got in a director called Jack Schmite.
Good old Schmite.
Who directed a bunch of
Mighty
really, Schmitey. Really big box office action hits.
Mighty Schmighty, as we call him.
He did. He did, like, a war movie. He did one of the airports. Pretty popular. They brought him in. They filmed the movie.
There was some explosions in this movie.
There definitely was. The action in this is pretty good. Like, it's pretty decent.
The explosions were pretty awesome looking.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
It's kind of boring, but some of the action...
I like the action. I liked when things were happening on screen.
Yeah, for sure. So they brought him in to direct it. This had a pretty high budget at the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of like $7-8 million. I don't know how much Star Wars cost at the time, but the idea for Fox was Star Wars was a risk.
Yeah.
They're going to release it. It's got a very low budget. If it fails, who cares?
Yeah.
This is going to be the hit of 1977.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's really interesting looking it back from that perspective, because Star Wars did the best with what it had. Like,
I mean, it even made, then, it could have, like...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know. It like had ships made out of, like, random kitchen appliance stuff, you know?
Well, because Star Wars took a swing on using a visual effects company that wasn't known for doing visual effects at the time. I think they were, like, pretty new. Whereas with this movie, they were like, we want... Because this is the hit.
Yeah.
We're going to get the big guys in.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
and
that
fucking bit them in the butt.
Well, yeah. That whole rewriting thing definitely is like... If they'd just gone with the original script and story, I feel like it could have done a lot better with the big budget and
I
that sort of thing.
I think it would have been a really
But
cool
I definitely...
Movie.
Yeah. With some of the big explosion effects... And, like, the vehicle itself, I was thinking, I could see a lot of budget going into this. A lot of, they had a lot of different, like, places they went to, different sets.
Yeah.
And, like, when you have lots of different sets, then I'm like, oh, this is probably a little more expensive than, than your average film. No, you
definitely.
Know?
So,
because a lot of films try and like stretch out the usage of each set that they have, but they were jumping here and there and other things.
Yeah. And, yeah, the director went out, shot the movie, was like, I got the big budget because this is going to be the hit. Nothing's going to take away from my budget. No other movie that Fox is making is going to go over budget and then they'll take money out of my movie to put towards that movie. That's not going to happen.
No.
So I'm just going to shoot the whole movie with the budget, with most of the budget that I have, and do a bunch of, like, practical effects. If we have to redo them with visual effects, that's fine, whatever. Because I've got that spare budget that's not going to get taken away by Star Wars.
Oh, no.
So what happened was, Star Wars went over budget, and they needed more budget, so they took it from Damnation Alley and put it into Star Wars. Which made Star Wars better, because it needed it.
Yeah.
Like, it needed an extra edit. I think George Lucas's wife is the one who saved that movie, because she re-edited it and made it
watchable.
I
mean, it worked out for them in the end.
It did. It like, that's a massive hit, but kind of sucks for this movie.
Yeah.
Because they took money from this movie to give it to Star Wars.
Damn.
Which then meant that they filmed the whole movie. There's a sequence with cockroaches where it's just a bunch of... toys on a mat and they're dragging the mat. I don't know if you saw that, but
it looked
really bad, right?
I don't know. I was down for it.
Okay.
I like, because it was a lot of them.
Yeah.
So it was a big mass. I could see, like, you could see it was something being dragged.
Yeah.
And it was probably not the best effect.
Well, that was meant to be redone with visual effects.
Yeah.
But they didn't have the money to redo it, so they just left in the mat dragging.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just small stuff like that is what happened with this movie.
Yeah.
Is they filmed it and went, that looks kind of shit, but we'll just redo it later.
Yeah, okay.
And then they didn't have the budget.
Because that's something else. It's like, the big explosions and other things, they look really good and impressive, they had a big budget, but then there's bits where it doesn't look like they have a big budget.
Yeah.
Which is really strange.
Yes.
That they're, like, the budget seems to flip-flop,
because
now it makes sense.
Because they were going to fix it in post, but couldn't because of Star Wars.
Wow.
And because of this, a bunch of important scenes that tell you what's going on were cut because they didn't have the money to even make them. They were going to make their own, like, missile sequence.
Ah.
They were going to have the ending, there's, like, a natural disaster sort of thing going on. That was meant to be made. They were meant to make that in post-production for the movie, but they had no money, so they just had to use stock footage of, like, random missile going into sky from a film from the 40s.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And,
interesting.
And then Star Wars came out, was a massive hit, and they were like, oh, we're just going to keep promoting Star Wars, and we'll just dump this at the end of the year.
Woof.
And they dumped it, and it didn't do well.
This movie really did get shafted at almost every opportunity.
It did.
Which is so funny that this was meant to be their big movie, and it kept getting shafted.
They tried to save it, like, as I mentioned, it was meant to be 140 minutes, they cut it down to 90.
Yeah.
For some reason, someone decided, you know how the sky in this whole movie looks like orange?
Yeah, or, well, there's some things where it's like a bit blue. With like lightning things going on. Yeah. It looks kind of cool.
The sky the whole time looks like radioactive.
Yeah.
That wasn't meant to be the case.
Oh, really?
They decided that like months before the movie was meant to be released.
Oh, geez.
And so the people had to go through the whole movie and change the sky like maybe frame by frame. I'm not sure.
Why?
But that was all added in very last minute because they were like, it'll make it look better. Very stupid.
That's a very strange thing to do.
It is. So, that's kind of what happened with this movie. Just got fucked over.
They had that weird sequence where, like, a storm was coming in and there was, like, laser things going across the sky. That effect looked really weird. I didn't know what the fuck was going on with that.
I have an idea with what they were meant, like, maybe what they were doing, but...
Because
that was meant to be an actual, like, storm tsunami sequence that they had to just cut because they didn't have money.
Yeah.
But yeah, so much of the movie was cut out. We'll get to that later. Also, on set, this is very funny. Oh. The main actor, whose name is Jan Michael Vincent, he plays Jake Tanner. Jake Tanner. He was like a TV star at the time.
Yep.
He got drunk and he went up to like some local Native American residents near where they were shooting. He basically just, like, went off at them, so much so that they got their revenge by, like, giving him peyote. And so he was just, like, high for 3 days, and they couldn't shoot the film. Because some Native Americans were like, fuck you, have this peyote.
Yeah.
And what? They couldn't find him. Like, he just, like, walked off into the desert and had a trip for 3 days.
That's fucking wild.
Which is one story about the making of this movie that I love.
That's wild.
Just fucking weird.
Yeah.
So, that's a fun thing that happened.
There you go.
So, anyway.
Shall we jump into some spoilers then?
I guess so. We've kind of given our thoughts on the movie.
I'm going to give this film Aldi.
Mm-hmm.
I think it suffers in a lot of areas. It had some really interesting things, but it took a while to get to them.
Yeah.
And like, it did feel like it was supposed to be more epic than it was.
Yes.
Like, especially the intro. I think the intro takes like 10, 11 minutes or something before it like gets you into the main thing. And it's like a big, long intro for this sort of movie, which would have made more sense if it was like 2 hours.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And like, because it's really getting you into it sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I was actually mentally comparing it to Star Wars, right?
Mm.
Where you have that like reel of text that comes on and then bam, you're in the movie, right?
Yes.
And that takes like 2 minutes. But it also, it's like explaining the story to you instead of showing, which I don't like. But that's Star Wars, right?
But also, then Star Wars is meant to be a chitty serial.
Yeah, well, that's it, right?
Which is what they did, so.
Which is interesting, because I liked Star Wars more.
But I usually
dislike that sort of intro. But it does just jump you in and then get into the main plot of the movie.
Yes.
It's just interesting that way that, like, maybe if this had done something more Star Wars, like a 2 minute quick intro of explaining shit, you could have just jumped right into it, right? And had a bit more into it, you know?
It would have made it more trashy, which I think is maybe what it needed, because the movie doesn't take itself very seriously.
The problem is, it thought itself a big epic film, but it turned out to be the trashy film
in
the end. And if it had originally gone in with that trashy sort of, like, vibe, then it would have done a lot better, I feel.
I think so as well.
So I'll give it an oldie.
Okay.
But it's a, you know, it's a circumstantial oldie. Like, this could have been a lot better. Also, going with the original script probably would have been a lot better.
They wouldn't have been able to make that until now, though.
Honestly. No. Like, oh, absolutely.
Some of the stuff. There's giant butterflies that attack them and shit.
Oh,
like that
would be so cool.
It would have been really cool.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? You could have done that in a very trashy movie, though. You just do, like, basic, like, on-string butterfly sort of...
Yeah.
You could make that super trashy and do that. But That's like why
Fox
they
wanted a hit.
Yeah.
Problem there. Yeah.
Exactly. It got screwed over at every point.
Yeah.
And like that's why they made Dune again.
Mm.
Is because a lot of the problems with Dune back in the day was they didn't have the technology to make the things that Dune talks about.
Absolutely not.
Whereas now they do. And hey, it's pretty well.
It's pretty good. I mean, old Dune's pretty good too.
Yeah,
Guild Navigators. I love them. Giant heads in a tank.
Oh.
Man, David Lynch's movie is hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, the David Lynch is one of my all-time favorites.
Yes. Yeah, I think I'll give it an oldie as well. There were moments where I really liked it. Having read the book as well and knowing how... I think the book is a bad book.
Oh.
Because it's very badly written. Like, really, really badly written. But the ideas in it... would be really cool in a movie.
Yeah.
Even, like, they change the main character's name.
Mm.
In the book, his name is Hell Tanner. His name is Hell Tanner.
That would have been so much more memorable. I can't remember a single fucking name in this film. I was going to bring it up. The characters are so unmemorable.
Yeah, like, in the book, his name is Hell Tanner, and it's a badly written book, but I remember why he's called Hell Tanner, because it's so kind of cool.
Yeah.
It was a corny.
Yeah, very corny.
He was born... The nurse held him up to his dad and said, "What should you call him?" And the dad went, "Hell," and walked off. So that's why his name is Hell Tanner. It's fucking metal, dude. It's cool. And I remember that.
That's very funny. That's very funny. And at least it's memorable. Hey, corny can be better than good sometimes.
Exactly.
I'll say it, you know.
And so, like, yeah, just like nothing in the movie is what is in the book, which is fine.
Mm.
But I was also like kind of a missed opportunity, which is a bit of a shame. But yeah, I'm going to give it an oldie as well. It's got some good moments though.
Yeah. I think it was worth the watch, but I wouldn't watch it again, you know, thing. I would be interested in the book though.
I want to
be attacked by giant butterflies.
I'll tell you more about the book later.
It sounds very, what's it like, Lost World or something?
It is very.
Yeah. And you know me, I'm a big fan of those Lost Worlds.
Maybe I won't spoil the book for you then later.
No. Spoil the book. Go ahead.
I'll tell you the whole plot
later. I'm never going to read this book. Not ever.
You're going to definitely not going to want to read it after I tell you what the book is. it's an oldie for me too. I just find it so funny how, like, I had a copy of the book
when
I was really young.
George Lucas wrote this, yay!
And, I think if I saw the movie, I might have liked it.
Like, there you go.
As a kid. I don't know. I don't know. But it's an oldie for me too.
Hi, real-life American Selly McSella here, and here's a fact you might not know about me. I freaking love the MCU. I love Marvel. I do. It's true. Now, you might say, well, then you're a Marvel shill. They ain't good anymore. But here's what I gotta tell you. I might shill for oldie but a goodie, but I don't shill for Marvel. I genuinely love every film that they've ever put out. And that's why I'm keen as heck for Sandro and Zach to talk about Madam Web. Here's a clip.
He has a Spider-Man suit because there's an Amazonian rainforest in Peru, Zach. I don't know if you knew that.
I had no idea. I thought this movie just made that up for this movie.
And there's a bunch of Spider-Men in the rainforest who have magic spider powers, and they all have Spider-Man suits.
Whoa! Except they're made out of, like, rainforest material.
This has to take place in the MCU.
That's true. And Tom Holland, we never see his intro, right?
We never see his origin story.
We're just kind of pushed into him being...
That's true. But Zach, Spider-Man's suit that Peter Parker makes, it's a very kind of thrown together hoodie, pants sort of thing, but it's very much not a Spider-Man suit. Who makes that Spider-Man suit? Tony Stark makes the Spider-Man
suit.
He does. But apparently he didn't, because he just stole it off the spider people who were already having Spider-Man suits.
I appear to have fucked up a little bit. It turns out that Madam Web's not an MCU movie. It's a Sony movie, and therefore I don't have to shill for it. I mean, therefore, I don't love this one. It's bad, actually. But you know what's good? Sandro and Zach talking about it at patreon.com/oldiebutagoodiepod. You can also get early episodes of the main show without any ads, so you don't have to hear this promo ever again. If you go there, link in the episode description, and get that bonus episode of Madam Web right now.
All right. So,
spoilers.
Going into the spoilers, you said there might be some changes that you might mention from the the book to the movie?
The book and the movie are nothing the same. I'll give you the plot of the book when we go through the whole plot of the movie.
Okay, all right, all right.
But I will mention stuff that was meant to be in the movie and was shot for the movie that they had to remove.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
because
yeah,
they cut out 45 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll open with the movie. It opens with the classic 20th Century Fox.
Yep.
Logo.
Classic.
Very nostalgic, just how it opened before Star Wars. It was like,
true.
Pretty cool. We see a bunch of businessmen in the American Air Force. They're doing Air Force stuff.
Yeah, yeah. We got a military base.
Yeah. And they spend a lot of time setting up these characters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got the sort of like wisecracky artist guy, you know.
Keegan, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
His name's Keegan. He was pretty cool.
You've got the military colonel guy.
Major Eugene Sam Denton.
Yep. He's a bit more, you know, serious sort of thing.
Yep.
Although he does play chess with the artist guy.
That's right.
And is beating him at the chess.
Yeah.
Which is a funny thing at the intro there. I liked that. I was like that. Hey, that's a good intro. I like that.
You've got Jake Tanner. He don't play by no rules, and he's got a mullet.
Fucking hate this guy.
He's so annoying, right?
Yeah, like, I get what he's trying to be. He's trying to be, like, the endearing, lovable scoundrel sort of thing.
Yeah.
I did not at any point, at no point was I on his side throughout this movie.
I also found it really interesting how he's got a mullet. Almost exactly the same hairstyle as Mark Hamill had in the first Star Wars. It's like
They
look so similar.
I think it was just the style at the
it
time.
It must have
you
been
know.
The style, yeah. But also I find it very funny.
Mullets
Fox
were.
Was like, you can make Star Wars, but make sure the main character looks
gotta,
like this guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gotta have a mullet.
Yeah. They're all in this airbase, and all of a sudden, someone, we don't know which country, but a country, launches a bunch of nukes at them.
Yeah.
Aimed at every major city across the country.
Yep.
And the Americans are like, oh no, we didn't ask for this. This, what a surprise. It's the consequences of our actions.
I don't remember them saying that, Sandro, but yeah.
Whenever America gets attacked in a movie, I'm like, but they probably asked for it.
Wow. Yeah. Whoa, Sandro, you can't say that.
Who do you think launched the nukes, Zach?
Probably Russia. Yeah. That would be my guess. Yeah, probably. I mean, look at the climate now. I mean, ooh.
It's probably Russia or...
It could have been North Korea, you
North
know.
Korea, could have been
I doubt it. Japan,
maybe.
Really? I'd say more China than Japan.
Yeah,
right?
True. Maybe like, it was all of them. They've all teamed up to get rid of America.
It's all, or like just general war broke out and people just started throwing missiles at literally everyone.
Maybe.
Because well, that's the classic World War III, right?
Yeah, true. I'm interested though, like, and I think Fallout plays with this idea a bit as well. Because it's set in America, and to America, the world is America, and then every other country is just like, they're also there, but the world's America.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
America.
That's kind of the spirit with, like, Fallout, is like, is the whole world radioactive, or is it just America?
Which would be really funny, by the way. But,
which would be hilarious, but that was kind of my thoughts in this movie, were like, all, like, some random country has attacked America, so America is gone, but the rest of the world is fine.
Well, it did tilt the Earth on its axis,
and then they mentioned that...
Yeah.
The amount of nukes that were launched has tilted the world out of its axis. So that's why weather's fucked up.
I mean, that does kind of make sense.
Kinda.
The moon, because the moon affects like flooding and other things that, right? So if it's on its axis, it would get closer and far away, close, far away.
Yeah.
Like that could affect temperatures as well. Like, I feel like it's plausible. It's plausible.
Maybe.
It's interesting thinking about the whole World War III thing.
Yeah.
Because this was made around the Cold War times,
the Cold War was going on for ages, but this is like during when... This is the height of when Cold War became movies.
Yeah, you know well, what that's I mean? The thing. Because that was in the consciousness of people back then. This is one of the things, is like people were scared of nukes.
Yes.
After what happened with them. And
what?
Yeah, and we were like, hey, what are the ramifications of all the countries just being like, nuke everything?
Yeah,
is this the end of the world?
Yeah.
You know? And that's why you get all these Fallout stories and stuff, is because people were like, what would happen.
Exactly. And that's what Fallout is. It's an homage of what they thought would happen in the 60s and 70s
with
the nukes. Like, yeah.
Which is great.
Really good. I love Fallout. It's good fun. Not Fallout 4, War. Though. Fuck that game. But War I do never like,
changes.
I do like Fallout 76.
What?
I played it for 2 hours, and I'm definitely going to keep playing it. It was on sale, and I bought it for myself and my partner, and we played it for 2 hours, and we're definitely going to go back to it.
Oh, someone's shilling out for those sponsors, I can hear. But the nukes go off. War never changes.
And then we cut to stock footage.
Yeah.
And the movie gets
stock
like,
footage fine.
It was fine. It got really art housey for
a
second.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That intro was really long with that sort of thing.
I kind of liked it.
We have a little bit where the colonel's talking with the other guy being like, I can't work with you.
Mm.
I've put in for a thing to work with someone else because I don't like you.
Something else that was cut from the movie, those two have a lot more of a, they butt heads more. Their relationship is explored way more in the original.
I would expect so because it was very brief in this film, which...
Yeah.
Didn't like, because I was like, well, why don't they like each other?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we see later on a bit more why they don't like, but...
It's just because he's young and he's just like, I do what I want, but the other guy's like, I'm a rules man.
Well, that's the thing, right? It's a very basic relationship.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't need it explained, but I would have liked it to be explained.
That's right. But they explain other things, because after all the bombs go off, we cut 2 years in the future and we get written exposition.
Yeah, which is funny that they had that whole, 11-minute intro and then finished it with a bit more text to just be like, and this is what happened. It's like, well, what was the point of the 11 minutes we just sat through if you're just going to explain it at the end anyway?
Because they were meant to have extra CG shots showing you that the world getting fucked, but they couldn't afford it.
I got the idea that the world was fucked anyway. Right. They didn't need to add the text.
That's the great thing about Mad Max is, we don't know what happened.
Yeah, just leave it at that. You had a 2-minute sequence of nukes going off. I can understand what that fucking means.
No, but Zach, we need another extra minute of... Nukes went off and everything sucked now.
Yeah, I know. You just showed me that.
My favorite part was when they were like, but there are a few brave people who want to try and fix the world. This is the story of some of them.
I know, you're about to show me it. Just show me it and shut the fuck up. It was really weird that they put text after all that.
It was so odd.
It was like, I'm angry.
It's bad.
It's a very weird choice.
Considering the circumstances, though, I understand why.
Yeah, yeah.
But also,
No, but they even if they were planning to do this stuff and it's like, oh, we can't do this stuff, let's put text in instead.
Yeah.
They still didn't need to put the text in anyway.
It's true.
Even if they were planning to do all this stuff, they only did it because they were planning to do other things, which is dumb and annoying.
Yep.
And they could have, hear me out, cut all that 11 minutes at the start there. Mm. We start at this point with the text on screen.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where the movie starts.
It's fine.
Because the rest of them, that bit didn't really do anything.
They set up the characters again in this next sequence, so they don't need to have that.
Exactly, right?
I think the intro is just there.
Well,
I don't know why.
Because they thought it was going to be a 2.5-hour film and they needed an epic intro to it.
It's true. Dear me.
So we have this military base where the world's gone to shit, but this military base is still sort of together.
It's 2 years after, yeah.
It's two years after, and a couple of the characters have, quit from the army.
Jake Tanner and Keegan have
quit. Two other characters. I'd love to tell you their names, but I forgot them in the 2 seconds.
Jake Tanner and Keegan.
Yes. Kegel and Greg. Got it.
Yes. One of the characters in... the book, his name is Greg. The sidekick for a big portion
of
it
is Greg.
We have Keegan and Greg. And, it's Hell Tanner and his sidekick, Greg.
Way more memorable names already.
True. Man, I can't wait to tell you about the book. But the movie.
Anyway, the movie. So we've got these two characters. They're just, hanging out near the military base.
Well, they've quit the Air Force, but...
But there's nowhere else to go. So they just have to hang out near the military base that they've quit.
Yeah.
Which is really weird.
I like the part where one of the characters is like, why did you quit the Air Force? And the guy responds, what Air Force? I'm like, yeah. Why the fuck are they keeping up
well,
with what they're doing?
Because, like, if they don't, it would just kind of go into chaos, right? It makes sense if you're in a military unit to keep that military unit going in a crisis,
yeah.
Right? Obviously, the Air Force is a bit silly, but they are just a military unit. It would make more sense to me, especially if you're a military person. In a time of crisis, you need to be that military person. There. Yeah.
And what they're
it's
doing
like a coping mechanism, you know?
Yeah. And basically all they're doing is they're guarding some explosives as well. That's pretty much
what
they're doing.
Yeah. That's the bit that's kind of silly is we'll get, like yeah. they need to, with this military unit, they need to work out. If I was to write a crappy, shitty sci-fi novel,
yes.
I would have it like, okay, and then they broke out into a bit of a society, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like the military chief is now like a chief of a, like the tribe that is this military unit now.
That's what they
and their priorities change to making a survival unit.
Yes.
You know, they got to make farms. They got to do this because they got to survive, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It becomes just a... The military ranks just become a hierarchy in this new, like, civilization, settlement.
It's kind of what happens in the book.
Or in Fallout. I think probably in Fallout as well, right?
You know. But in the book, it's like the world was fucked, like, 50 years ago.
Yeah.
So the main character has never known a world that hasn't been, like, radioactive. But it's more of a police state. Like
exactly.
Like a police state.
Exactly, right? It would make more sense if they become just a police state.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes way more sense, right? Instead of them just being like, I guess we just do our jobs.
Yep.
And so you could see why they quit, because it's like, well, I don't want to do my job in the post. Why am I doing my job? You're going to pay me? What am I going to spend this money on, right?
Exactly.
So I can see where he's coming from in that situation.
I can't see where he's coming from, though, when it comes to how they introduce Jake Tanner again, because he's on his motorbike, which in the book he is a bikey guy. I'll get to what
that
sort of bikey guy he is later. But he's a bikey. That's how we introduced to him. He's got his bike. He's got a girl on the back of his bike that he's found, and he's riding around some rad scorps.
Oh, yeah, the rad scorpions. Hashtag not copyrighted. Hashtag they're just big scorpions.
Hashtag they took regular-sized scorpions, blew them up, which is what they did for monster movies
classic.
Back in the 40s.
It looks great. I love it. It looks amazing.
They're
it's
definitely
the
not
best.
Floating above the sand or anything.
Yeah, but, like, I'm totally fine with that.
It looks great.
It was very funny.
Yes.
Because it reminded me of those big tarantulas we saw in that...
In Tarantula.
Yeah. Which was very funny. So I love the big scorpions that they had.
And there's a random point where he's like, all right, miss, this is where I leave you. And he pushes her off the bike.
Which is just a wild intro where he's like, he's found a girl in the desert and he's bringing it back. Yep. And then he's just like, nope. And he dumps the girl in the middle of these scorpions and... us and the other characters, like, what the fuck?
Well, it turns out it was just a prank, bro, because that girl was a doll. Was a blow-up doll. They don't say that, but that's...
I thought it was just a mannequin.
Maybe it was a mannequin. It had a hole in its mouth.
Well, it was a mannequin. I don't know what he's been using it for. I mean, we hear he was talking to it before,
going crazy.
And then they never elaborate on that. And I was like, what? That's kind of interesting. Him going crazy because he's lonely?
That's a plot in Umbrella Academy. The young kid was stuck somewhere. And
has
a romance with like a dog.
He was
like
stuck
mannequin.
At the end of time.
Yeah,
so he, yeah. So he like just... fell in love with a mannequin that he made up.
This is a great story. I love
that. Yeah, and it, like, still affects him to this day.
Yep.
Because he, like, he teleports to the modern day, but then finds the store with the mannequin that he falls in love with.
That's right.
Yeah, and Caesar's store.
So funny.
Yeah.
So that's how they introduce your main character again.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, haha, he's cheeky, haha, it was a thing.
He's a mad lad, he pranks.
Yeah, what a mad
he's a pranker.
Lad. So is he just going out on his bike to, like, find shit? Like...
Yes.
Okay.
I'll explain more in the book.
Oh!
That's what he does in the book. He's known for being the guy who can drive around these undrivable climates.
Yeah, which makes sense. But in this, it's just like... It just had a mannequin that was a bit...
That's right.
There you go.
But in the book... I'll say this now. Why not? In the book, it's not heavily implied. It's just plainly stated... that he's a Nazi.
Whoa! Whoa!
He's a Nazi biker boy.
What the fuck?
And he's in jail because he did things.
What the fuck?
And he's asked by the military to travel across the country to deliver vaccines.
Why would you get the Nazi to do it?
Because he's the best driver in the world, Zach.
Holy shit.
So
why is he a Nazi of all things?
It's the 60s. It was written in the 60s, and I think describing a guy as a Nazi in the 60s didn't carry the same weight as it does now when neo-Nazis are a thing.
Oh, right. It was more like a fictional thing.
It was more like a...
Because it's so outlandish, no one would believe someone is an actual Nazi back then, whereas nowadays we have actual people who are actual Nazis, even though they're fucking Nazis.
I mean, I'm sure that, like, the neo-Nazi movement started directly after World War II, but...
No, but
it
the
wasn't as
no,
well
the,
known.
Here's the thing. The internet fueled a lot of that sort of shit. You get into your like, internet bubbles.
I mean, in the 80s as well, though, like, we had heaps of, like...
Yeah, sure, they were there,
yeah.
But you couldn't connect with each other. They couldn't form giant gangs
exactly.
Which do protests and...
So I think it was more...
Storm
of...
the Capitol or something, you know?
So I think it was more of just, like, a... how do we say he's a bad guy? Ah, we'll say he's a Nazi. He's got like an SS
jacket.
You know
what
I mean?
Like, exactly. It's like so outlandishly bad guy that it doesn't seem believable. Like, it's a sci-fi, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's silly.
And, oh, fuck, he's a bad guy in the book. Which is why, like, when the movie started and he's, like, working for the Air Force, I was like, hang on a second.
Yeah. That's wild. But, like... At least it's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't fucking know.
The book was... Fuck, it was bad. But it was more interesting than what they did.
Yeah. And you know what? If I was a colonel, I wouldn't want to work with a fucking Nazi either. Also, that's wild that he was just a Nazi. And what the fuck?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, like, he's like...
I'm glad you mentioned that now.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I hated the character in the film,
exactly.
Even not knowing
he
was a Nazi.
If you liked him in the movie, I'd be like, well, Zach.
Yeah.
I guess imagine that means that you are a bit of a...
Imagine I came in and I was like, wow, that guy, my ideals line up with
him. I want to be him.
Yeah. No, I thought he was kind of a jerk. I'm glad I thought he was kind of a jerk.
Yeah,
anyway.
The book is him, like, driving...
Why is he the main character in this?
In the book or in the movie?
Both.
I don't know. But in the book,
I mean,
it
makes sense if it's in the book because it's like nitty gritty. So it's like, we're following this guy, but he's kind of a bad person.
Oh boy,
right?
Is the book nitty gritty. It's such a more interesting plot as well. Like, civilization kind of exists and you have to ride across the country to deliver vaccines. That's a plot.
That makes sense.
Whereas in this, it's just, we're just going to go see if there's people...
Yeah, so, the military base blows up because some dude jerked off and then had a smoke after it, and the smoke, there was, like, leaking gas.
The cigarette drops on a magazine.
Which lights on,
lights on fire,
which blows up a gas thing, and then causes a chain reaction which blows up this military base.
Kills everyone but four guys.
Yeah, and so the guys are like, well, we have nothing here, so we're just gonna leave.
And they just so happen to be working on the Landmaster.
Whoa, the Landmaster, a secret military vehicle that's...
Yeah. It's a sci-fi car with fidget spinner wheels.
Whoa! I mean, those actually exist in real life
they
as, like,
exist.
All-terrain sort of things, which is cool. Look, car's cool. Does kind of look like Elon Musk's, like...
It does look like Elon Musk's,
like,
car.
Block car.
Yeah, it does.
Which is very funny.
We had some pretty funny quotes as well. I think the guy who destroys the base arrives late.
Yes, I was going to bring up this quote because it's so fucking funny.
He arrives 20 minutes late, and the guy who was waiting for him is like, you owe me 20 minutes.
Yeah. And he's like, well, what did you need that 20 minutes for? Because they're in the post-apocalyptic thing. And he's like, I don't know. I just want my 20 minutes back.
He says, never mind what I want with the 20 minutes. They're mine and I want them.
Yeah. Which is, it's such, honestly, best actor in the film.
It was great.
Too bad he dies like 20 seconds later.
Yeah. I also have a quote from my girlfriend who was watching the movie with me up until the point where the cars came out in which she went to bed, which is fair enough. But
it's funny.
They said as soon
she missed the next 15 minutes of driving around doing nothing.
Doing nothing. The car came out and she was like, well, it looks like a Thomas the Tank Engine character. Which it kind of does.
I can see where you're coming from. I'm going to say it doesn't at all, but I can see why. It does feel, because it's like a fabricated vehicle.
Yeah.
So it does feel like a stop motion sort of like vehicle.
It does a little bit. Anyway.
That's funny.
Oh, we didn't mention, the soundtrack of this movie is pretty good.
Yeah,
the soundtrack, I really enjoyed, especially when the car comes out. It's like big epic music.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's because the music is done by Jerry Goldsmith, who composed all the Star Trek movies.
Wow.
He's a Star Trek man.
There you go. He's a sci-fi guy.
Which is funny because this movie was meant to be Star Wars.
That's true.
They got the guy who did Star Trek to do the bloody music. Pretty funny. Pretty funny indeed.
Ironic.
Yes.
So yeah, they decide, oh, hey, we're getting the signal from this other place.
Albany.
Yeah, which has been a plot in other things before, I think, where
the plot of Fallout 3?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Maybe?
Yeah, well,
it's part of the plot of Fallout 3.
There's like things in Fallout where it's like, oh, there's a message from this thing. We've got to go check it out.
It's over the radio, but we're going to
Like one mission in Fallout or something, you know? Yeah. But that's, this movie is that just, they're going out on the vehicle, and the reason is they're going to Albany. That's it. They don't really have a reason to go there, so, like, they talk about it at some point. It's like, that's their reason, but they literally have no other reason other than they don't want to stay at the base because it's blown up, so we might as well. But they could stop anywhere.
They could. They're just like, we'll go here and we'll stop at Las Vegas and Detroit and some other places along the way. Why not? The Major is like, I've called our route Damnation Alley, because it's like an alley between all the big radiation waves, so we're going to drive through that and get to where we need to go.
I mean, the name's fine. The name's good.
The name's good.
Because it was written in the book, I presume.
In the book, Damnation Alley is kind of like the Kessel Run.
Yeah.
It's like a really dangerous road that connects the major towns.
And it makes sense to get your fly guy, your Nazi to
one makes it. They all die.
Yeah.
At the end of the book.
Which is why, oh my God.
Actually,
okay.
No. Can I say what the ending of the book is?
Well, you're skipping ahead a bit, but I'm kind of interested now. I'm sick of curious.
In the book, at some point, Hell Tanner picks up a random lady, and we get a bunch of really weirdly written sex scenes. It was very funny.
Yeah.
But he picks up a lady, and then she dies at some point, and then he gets attacked by a bunch of people. The car breaks down.
Okay.
He's got to go via motorbike, which means he's exposed to radiation, so he's dying at the end. And then he actually dies just before he reaches wherever he needs
to
go. So he dies. And then Greg's ghost talks to an angel.
What the fuck?
And says, you know what? That Nazi's a bad bloke, but he's learned humanity through this trip.
What the fuck?
And you, Mr. Angel, need to give him the energy to deliver the vaccines.
No.
And then he delivers the vaccines and then he dies and then they make a statue out of him.
That's crazy, but also very funny. In a way, did they know he was a Nazi when they made the statue? Or that he was just a guy?
I think
that delivered the vaccines. Well, yeah, because that would make sense.
Yeah.
If just this guy who did this epic trip to do these things, they didn't know he was a Nazi, so they built the statue.
I think the place he's from knows that he's a Nazi.
Yeah,
but
they don't. Yeah. That's great. I like that.
He was like the leader of like the big bikie gang.
Yeah.
That just went around like pillaging towns. Like,
they
fucking sucked. But I think he's not known in this.
But he's not known in that. And so they're like, oh my God, this hero brought us fucking vaccines. Let's build a statue after him.
Yeah.
That's great. I love that.
But yeah, the book has like gigantic lizards, gigantic butterflies that they attack, heaps of stuff like that.
Very Fallout, I
Very,
you say.
Very Fallout.
Almost like it directly inspired Fallout things.
Kind of. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
But also, there's an angel and it resurrects the main character.
Yeah, that's wild. I would have expected, hey, look, maybe it was radiation. Maybe he got a bit of ghoul sickness and that would have allowed him to make the last journey or something, you know?
Yeah. The car has got a weird stretchy bit in the middle of it like a bus.
Yeah, I was gonna mention that. So we've got our crew. We've got two vehicles even as well.
Yes.
Which is very funny because they clearly only had one vehicle made for the film.
They used twice.
But they're using it. There's this
What?
There's also a random other guy mm-hmm. who's with them who dies pretty early on.
Perry, he was his name apparently.
That's great.
How does he die?
So they have these stretchy, bendy buses.
Yes.
And they go to a storm. A storm approaches them.
A dust storm, yeah.
A dust storm.
Radioactive dust storm.
Unfortunately, the commander's asleep. Or fortunately, the commander's asleep. The commander's asleep.
He's asleep.
So when they approach the dust storm, they also the Tanner sings on the radio.
That was a really good moment.
That was funny. Yeah. Because of course there is no radio stations out here, so he doesn't get to listen to music. So he just sings his own.
That scene where he's going through the radio and he's like, "There's no country music. There's uh-huh. no rock, and uh-huh. there's no Reverend Ike." Country, rock, religion on the it's Fallout.
Whoa!
It's just those are the what you listen to in Fallout.
Whoa!
It's crazy, man.
Crazy, man.
It's wild. Anyway, it's like things inspire other things.
Yep. Anyway, there's a storm, and shut up. there's a storm.
This is my new character, the guy who just finds out that everything is based on other things.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, things are inspired by the media that they consumed? Whoa!
Wait, there's space exists and that Star Wars is based on it?
Wait, space is a real thing?
Wait, the Vietnam War happened and that's what Star Wars is based on?
Oh, no. Anyway, are we the baddies? No. So there's a storm and Tanner's like, "Hey, there's a storm." And so the other guy who dies super early on is like, "Hey, we should bunker down." Yes. That's the procedure for going through a storm.
The car can like anchor itself.
Yeah, it has like things that dig into the ground.
Yeah.
Not very well, apparently.
So badly.
Because Tanner's like, "Haha, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to try and like race around the storm so it doesn't affect us." Which works. But the other guy bunkers down. But while they're bunkering down, they get, sprung loose and it topples the car.
Yes.
It, like, spins it around. And while it's spinning around, the random guy dies.
He just dies.
And so Tanner's like, and then the commander wakes up and the commander's like, "What the fuck are you doing? Why didn't you anchor down like the other guy said?" And he's like, "I don't know, but it fucking worked.
It worked because that guy
so
died."
I'm right and you're wrong. And Tanner never learns his lesson from that.
I love the quote that the major says after that. He's like, "You're right and you're wrong. Perry's dead." It doesn't mean you're right and I'm wrong. It means Perry's dead.
I mean, I agree with the commander.
I was like,
pretty much the entire film, I have agreed with the commander in the situation.
He's a good leader.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing.
His lines are good and he's a good actor.
He's
anyway.
The only good actor in the movie. That's not true, actually. There's one other small cameo that we'll get to.
But anyway, they're riding along. Now that other guy's dead, they get the one guy to just hop into the single vehicle.
Keegan.
Instead of driving two vehicles, which would have made more sense.
I will mention that as well. Keegan is an African-American, and he's not the first to die. I was like, that's really, you know, what the boring white guy dies first.
He is the second guy to die.
He
but
is
anyway,
the second guy to die.
Well, there's a lot of white guys at the start that die.
That's true.
Yeah.
And they all deserve it.
Whoa.
But also, all of America dies and, you know, a pretty large population of America is not white people. So.
I would disagree with you, but I just learned some of the characters were Nazis. So, you know. anyway.
They come across Vegas.
Yes, they come across Vegas now. Now that Tanner hasn't learned his lesson because him doing the wrong thing got them to live. So he thinks he was right. And that's never resolved in this fucking film.
Yes.
Which is really irritating because they have that bit. I'm just going to back to that line because that's my favorite line in the film.
Yep.
It's like, he's like, "Haha, see, Commander, I'm right because I did the wrong thing and that saved us." And he's like, "It doesn't matter whether you're right or wrong. The fact is, he's just dead."
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
Exactly.
Anyway, it was a good line.
It's a great line.
Anyway, moving on. They get to Vegas and they're like, "Haha, Vegas, look at all these machines. Play a bit of blackjack."
I liked this scene because they start having fun. Major himself, he's like smiling and having fun.
Yeah. I mean, like, why wouldn't you while you're there? Yeah, you might as well.
And I found it really effective how they then added the sound effects of a busy casino.
Yeah, in the background.
But always showed how empty it was.
Yeah.
That's actually really effective.
Yeah.
In a better movie, that would be a really cool moment.
Absolutely. That's a good scene. I want to see like a director's cut of this film to see how how it would have been.
It's probably somewhere in the Fox basement. Like,
yeah, yeah.
It probably exists.
Yeah, I would have liked to see a director's cut because I feel like this was a moment in between other moments that would have meant a bit more.
Oh, yeah. I didn't mention stuff that was cut was showing you how everything broke down over those 2 years. That was filmed and cut.
Oh, filmed. Wow.
There was meant to be an alcoholic general in charge of the base, which I think
They did mention him once.
Yeah, he doesn't get any lines of dialogue in the movie.
He doesn't get any screen time, I think, almost at all.
And some other stuff involving a new character who shows up at this point in the movie.
Ah.
A woman!
Dear God.
Oh my God.
Yep, so she just shows up.
She shows up.
And she immediately, like, runs down to hug them because she's like, random people, yay!
Yeah.
Which, okay, this annoyed me throughout the film because we meet another character later on.
Yeah.
We meet the boy.
Yeah.
And he's apprehensive.
Yes.
He, like, throws rocks at them and runs away, which is confusing because the lady's like, I'm just going to go and greet you, yay.
Well, she's shown in her backstory to be very trusting. Of like,
I don't know why.
She was a Vegas showgirl, and she was like, oh, I was going to meet Frank Sinatra because of my manager. And they're all like, yeah, sure.
But also, like, so she still goes up and greets them, whereas the boy's apprehensive. It's like, why is the boy apprehensive?
Yeah.
Then we see the like, fallout guys, the, like, bandits or whatever you can call them, who are, like, evil. And, you know, they're just trying to survive. So they're like, ha ha, a woman, we're going to assault her.
That scene was so awkward.
Yeah, it was awkward. But then it makes sense as to why the boy was apprehensive. But we should have had the meeting with the bandit guys before then so we could understand why the boy was so apprehensive.
Because
there was no reason for him to be apprehensive before. But also, why is the lady so instantly trusting of these random fucking people she encounters? Even the main character's like, oh, she knows the captain, I guess.
Yeah.
She apparently just doesn't. And she was just really friendly for some fucking reason.
I don't know.
It makes no fucking sense.
I was very confused.
Like, the, like, friendliness, then scaredness, then friendliness, then evilness. It's like, it's all over the show. And it could have been, like, they encountered this woman, and it's like, wow, you're really trusting. Or, like, she did actually know the colonel.
Yeah, maybe.
Would have made more sense at the start there. But then later on, we have this bandit encounter. But obviously, they wanted the boy and the girl for this bandit encounter so they could have the scenes with them. But maybe, like, mention just one line earlier on, it's like, oh, we got to be wary. There's people out here that will, you know, shoot on sight sort of thing, you know. It's like, give us a reason for the boy to be scared in the first place, because it doesn't make any sense at the time when that scene shot. It only makes sense later on.
That's true. I guess the original thought was because they would have shown how humanity handled the nukes.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
You would have seen what...
Maybe that was in the the intro with the civilization crumbling down.
Yeah, yeah.
There was probably like a thing, it's like there's roaming gangs of people.
Exactly. Yeah. But, which would have made it more interesting, but we don't get that. So,
but
you know.
Yeah, because they didn't have that, the way people react to other people doesn't make sense throughout this movie. And it annoyed me greatly.
You know what annoyed me greatly was how they're bloody, like, you can come along and then she packs fucking three suitcases.
Women be packing clothes.
She's going to bring so many suitcases and the major's like, bloody, how about you just bring one and just bring jeans and a t-shirt? Fucking, what are all these dresses?
Woman.
Oh my God. One thing they cut was a love Boomer triangle moment. Between the major, Jake Tanner, and her.
I mean, that makes sense.
Makes sense. Weird that they didn't leave that in.
Yeah, it's weird that that's the bit that they cut, like, because that would have made more sense, because it's, like, a bunch of men who haven't seen a woman in ages. Yeah, they'd be fucking horny.
Yeah.
And I think there would be a quad trouble, because there'd be that other guy, but that other guy dies in the next scene.
He does die in the next scene. Yeah.
But, yeah, they would all want to bang, because they'd be horny AF.
But instead, they just ignore that, and they're like, she's along for the ride, whatever. They go to Salt Lake City to look for gas, and there's a bunch of cars, and inside those cars are Halloween prop bones.
No. You think they're Halloween prop bones, Sandra, but actually, they're just bones that have been picked clean. In fact, so clean it's suspicious. That's actually part of the film,
that
Sandra.
Is part of the film. He's like, so damn, these bones are clean.
Hey, and they are. They're not props.
Giant killer cockroaches. They're not giant, but killer cockroaches.
Well, they are quite big.
They're armor plated too.
And they're armor plated, yeah, because he tries to step on one and he can't. And it's like, huh, weird ass cockroach.
They are an actual breed. They're called the Madagascar hissing cockroaches.
Yeah, hissing cockroaches are great because they make hissing sounds. Yeah. I've seen them. They are quite large though. They can they can be nearly the size of your hand as well.
And Keegan
If you don't like creepy crawlies, they would be quite terrifying.
They would be creepy and crawly.
Yeah.
Aside from the scenes where they're all on a mat and the mat's being dragged along the ground.
Yeah. honestly, I didn't have much of a problem with that. But yeah, you could probably see the mat in those scenes.
Yeah, I could. I found it kind of funny though.
Yeah.
The killer cockroaches, yeah, they kill Keegan. He gets trapped in a car and then they're
big
they
rip. Just eat him. I was not expecting him to die.
No,
in
me
this
neither.
Film.
The scene where the major runs up and like opens the car door and we just hear the cockroaches eating him.
Yeah, it's
that
like,
was really effective.
It
was
like, oh.
And we also get some pretty good motorcycle action in this scene.
A bunch
of motorcycle like, jumps.
Because he's driven off to try and find supplies and it's like, oh, wait, there's killer cockroaches everywhere. And then the colonel calls up after the other guy's died, like, you gotta get back, there's killer cockroaches. And they're like, as they're running away from the cockroaches, they're like, oh, yeah, thanks, colonel.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I liked that scene. They meet the random kid. He throws rocks at them. He's apprehensive about joining.
He's scared of them, which doesn't make any sense at this stage in the movie.
Yeah.
It does make sense when you encounter the evil people later on, right? But at this stage, I was like, why is this kid... Why are they chasing him?
I don't know.
Why do they care? What is fucking happening? So they chase the kid, and then they capture him, and then we're all chill, and they give him some food, and they're friends. I'm like, why didn't this happen at the start? Why did we have this chase scene at all?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any fucking sense.
And as soon as the kid was introduced, I was like, that kid looks so fucking familiar. I know this kid from somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And yeah, it's Rorschach from Watchmen.
Whoa!
I think it's one of his first movies.
That's wild.
He's Freddy Krueger in like the reboot of Elm Street. Whoa. I'm just like, the fuck is this guy doing in it?
That's
Jackie
crazy.
L. Haley. I was like, that's him as a kid. He looked just as odd as a kid than he does now. He's great.
He reminded me of the guy from Neverending Story, the kid.
Which one?
Atreyu! Falcor!
Yeah,
the one with long hair.
Yeah. He does look like him. He's good at throwing rocks. I dropped a plate, but he's good at that too, because he's good at throwing stuff.
Yeah, that was him throwing a rock to demonstrate.
That was him throwing a rock.
He's good at throwing rocks or something. He hits Tanner, which is the only part of the film which I liked Tanner.
Yeah.
Because he was getting pelted by rocks. They give him some food, and he's like, I'll come with you if you teach me how to ride the motorbike. And that's his thing.
Fuck, sure.
There's really no reason for him being in the film other than he is a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even do anything with it. He's just with them. I guess they don't... I guess he's just a character, and characters are in films.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, they go... and find another village place.
They go to a diner.
A diner,
Random diner.
They find this an old town, yeah.
And there's a piano, and the woman's like, I'm gonna play it.
Yeah, because she was a showgirl, she could play a bit of piano. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's some nice piano. Oh, what a lovely scene. Oh, nothing can go wrong here.
A bunch of mountain men.
Oh, no!
We're all mountain men. They look like ghouls because they're covered in, like, burns and stuff.
Yeah, they're covered in burns, probably radiation burns, but it's never explained.
Which was a Fallout connection. Another Fallout connection on the piano was an empty glass Coke bottle. As soon as I noticed that, I was like,
yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Very funny.
A whole bunch of guys pop out and they have guns. And
shotties.
They're like, nice car, nice girl. Hey, girly, keep playing that music. I like that music.
Keep playing
anyway, you guys check out that car and leave me alone with the girl.
Yeah, and the kid's like, ew.
The kid's like, I'm going to steal radioactive lollipops from this thing. I was like, those probably aren't safe to eat. So he's just eating lollipops and the guy's like, get the fuck out of here, kid. I want to bang your mom.
And then the kid knocks him out with a rock.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. And then there's a big action scene and it ends with them blowing up the diner with all the guys in it.
Yeah.
With one of the torpedoes from the truck.
Yeah.
So like, It was such a, of course this is in it sort of moment.
But if that bit had come before they met the kid,
Or at least some bad guys before.
Or, yeah, or something. It would have made more sense as to why the kid's like, I don't want people to capture me because they could be evil, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But we don't see any evil people up to this point or even talk about them or even mention them. So it doesn't make any sense at that point. Anyway, I got a little mad. Just a little bit. But then they continue on. It's like, all right, we've defeated these bad guys. Let's go. But the car's starting to break down. It's been a long journey of them ignoring protocol and running through storms. Yeah. The car's starting to break down. Luckily for them.
It's been a long, epic journey that we haven't explored yet, really, at all. It feels quite short, actually. There was one scene just before the car starts to break down. She's having a shower. And I don't know if you noticed this, but in the shower scene, she's showering.
Yep.
And they obviously didn't shoot enough footage of her showering, because they play the footage and then they reverse it.
Oh.
So, like, her hand, like, goes up to her hair. They must have cut, because then it's the set, like, it goes back down, but it's obviously reversed.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to the same close-up of her hands that we got to start the fucking shower
scene. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which was very funny. I love it when movies do that.
But I didn't notice that, because I was zoning out at that stage. And I was like, whatever, the journey's going. Don't care.
They gotta go to Detroit to fix the car.
Yep.
Because Detroit's got a lot of cars.
It's true. That's the one thing about Detroit.
And so the kid randomly wanders off.
Yeah, they find like a old, what are they called? Scrapyard.
Yeah.
Where there's a whole bunch of cars, which is good. Because apparently the truck can be fixed by any regular truck parts, which is a
very
convenient.
Very convenient.
Fact about it.
And the kid randomly runs off just as a storm starts to hit.
Yeah.
Big storm.
So Tanner has to go find the kid through this, like, created problem that they created for the situation.
So the storm, to me, because it was a bunch of, like, random lines kind of going across the sky.
Yep.
I may have read into this, but I've got the Wikipedia page open, and it seems like this is what the movie was actually implying.
Okay.
Was they randomly say when they mentioned that the Earth is out of its axis, that one day it could return to its normal axis.
Yes.
That's what this scene is.
Yes, that's what I thought as well. Yeah. I had that thought, but it's only implied and, like,
it's implied
and never proven and shown, but, like, afterwards everything seems all right afterwards.
Afterwards, the sky is clear, yeah.
Yes. So I presumed something like that had happened, but, like, that was only, like, a thought I had in my head. I didn't think it was the truth. I was like, oh, is that what happened? Who knows?
That's what I thought as well, but apparently that is what was meant to be happening.
Right.
Because, yeah, like, after that the sky is clear. And then they go somewhere else after this whole sequence, and it's not, like, radioactive at all.
Yeah.
So I was like, is the world fixed? Was that the world being fixed?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It took strange. 2 years?
Yeah.
That's so quick.
Anyway. Yeah, well, maybe it will go off its tilt again. Maybe this is just temporary. Who knows? Who cares? Because right now, there's a big old storm, and there's a flood.
It's meant to be a tsunami.
Yeah.
But they didn't really capture that very well.
No, but, like, makes sense if the Earth is getting back on its tilt, like, the moon's going to affect the tides, you get a big tsunami come in, flood the whole place. Luckily, the car's meant to go in water. They did mention it beforehand.
They do have their bases covered. Because, luckily, the car turns into a miniature toy that can float in a pool.
Yeah, that was kind of funny. I liked the line, it's like, oh, they have a few leaks and stuff, and it's like, don't worry, this car's meant to float with it half full of water, and the guy's like, and I think Tanner's like, what about full of water? And he's like, don't think about that, just keep working. And it's like, ah, that's a good line.
Exactly. And yeah, they cut out a bunch of stuff at this point as well.
Just like, I bet, because because after this tsunami bit, they go on to dry land, and then suddenly they get connections to the other place, and it, like, ends the film there.
Yeah.
It felt like there was a few more steps in their journey before they reached the thing. Even not knowing that there was cuts,
it felt
quite abrupt.
Definitely. There was meant to be a part where Tanner tries to kill the Major because he blames him for Keegan dying as well. Whoa. I didn't mention that, but that was something.
Yeah, because they were best buddies, right? So it makes sense that he was pissed over that.
Yeah.
But it was none of that in that. Yeah. They just, And essentially, the film just ignored his death for the rest of the thing. Yeah, and exactly. I was annoyed because he was like my favorite character. He was pretty good.
So they drive to New York and the radio is playing music and they talk to the person on the radio. And then the major throws his hat in the air and shoots it, which is very funny.
Yeah, they celebrate because they finally get there. But of course, it does feel very short. Their journey was not very long.
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel like they're like super excited that they finally made it. Even the kid and the woman, even though they've barely been on this trip, you know? It doesn't feel deserved at that point.
No. And then he just hops on his motorbike with the kid and drives to where everyone is and then the movie ends.
Yep.
Like, that's it. It's just regular... Like, it's just regular New York at this point.
Yeah, they find a town that has not been affected, and that's it. That's the end of the film.
That's the whole movie.
It's like...
It's such a bad ending.
Yeah, it's a nothing.
It's nothing.
Nothing happened. Nothing.
I prefer the one where he dies and then an angel resurrects.
Yeah! Like, and look, at least that's something fucking wild.
Something happened.
Yeah.
And that is Damnation Alley.
Whew. All right.
My final fun fact before the remake is... They were going to rename the movie because it's got nothing to do with the book. So tell me which of these two you prefer.
Mm.
Salvation Road.
Nope.
Survival Run.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Survival Run's a pretty good name.
Sounds... It gives you a better idea of what they're doing.
Yeah, definitely.
Was there anything else from the books and other things that you wanted to mention? Any other plots? Because there's giant butterflies. You said lizards.
Giant butterflies, giant lizards. More tsunami stuff. He has to fight some of his old biker friends at one point.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's cool. I like that.
There's a bunch of chapters that focus on like random characters. There's like a woman who like kills her boyfriend because he's radioactively poisoned or something. So she's like, I'll just like put you out of your misery.
Yeah. That's fair.
A mayor goes crazy because of... The death bell that just keeps ringing. Every time someone dies, it's like once a second.
Oh, that's funny.
So, yeah. Anyway.
Why is there a bell that rings every time someone dies? Although that's very funny, because if everyone's dying, it's just going ding, 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 yeah, ding, ding, ding.
Exactly.
And so the mayor goes insane. That's cool.
Yeah. And apparently as well for Damnation Alley for the movie, they tried something new. They did a special cinema release.
Ooh.
Not IMAX. But IMAX for the ears.
Earmax.
Sound 360. Oh. Surround sound. Oh. It was one of the very few movies that ever had surround sound.
Oh.
And apparently only the score actually used it. So the trumpets were like behind the theater or something.
That's funny.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. I wish theaters would use a bit more surround sound. That would have been more.
Could be cool.
That could be fun. Yeah, I definitely like Earmax, though. That's a way better name.
Earmax is pretty good.
Yeah, because it's maximizing your ears.
All right, taglines, thumb up or thumb down. You have seen great adventures. You are about to live one.
I've seen better adventures.
Exactly.
Not a bad tagline, though. Fine. I'll give it a mid thumb.
More than a movie. An adventure you'll never forget.
I've already forgotten like half of it. Thumbs down. Because I'm mad at this film now.
Yeah.
Not a bad tagline, though.
The magnificent epic of five people who survive the nuclear holocaust and their incredible odyssey through the nightmare world
it's
it created.
It's still going!
And now...
What?
You
Shut
will
up.
Not only see it, you
no.
will feel it.
Shut up.
Live it.
Shut
in
up.
In Sound up. 360. A revolutionary sight
okay,
and sound
that isn't
experience.
That is a tagline. That's an advertisement. That's like a full advertisement there. What the fuck? Was that actually a tagline?
That's actually a tagline.
No, shut up. That's
on the poster.
No, that's the longest tagline I've ever heard.
It's pretty great.
That's... crazy and also so funny because in the tagline you can already tell that the movie's garbage because the tagline's like go on this epic adventure with five people and it's like,
okay,
big thumbs down I guess. Fucking hell, that's the longest tagline I've ever heard.
And also there's a DLC in Fallout New Vegas that is directly inspired by the movie.
Yeah, that's true.
Where you go on a fit. If I didn't mention that, people would yell at us. So.
Yeah. Well, that's it. That's the whole Fallout connection, you know, which makes sense. This had some pretty good, like, Fallout themes.
Yeah.
But it just never really capitalized on them. Whereas I feel like Fallout probably did.
Exactly.
We're the Curiosity of a Child podcast.
I'm Anton, the son.
And I'm the daddy.
I'm the daddy.
And we're curious about...
everything.
We're a podcast about history, science, storytelling, and...
the Curiosity of a Child.
We like to dig into different topics, everything from the humble ox...
in that episode I had to learn about castration...
to the most popular Christmas toys of yesteryear...
including a doll that could bite your fingers off... and a pet rock.
We don't just talk, though. We like to experience. That might mean recording on location in a 5,000-year-old dolmen full of spiders and, reportedly, the entrance to the fairy realm.
Or simply tasting spices from across the world.
We also recreated and ate various forms of quartz medicine, such as human brain, mellified man...
and a nice warm glass of urine. Yum.
Listen to the...
Curiosity of a Child podcast!
Alright, time to do the remake...
All right.
Do we remake the movie or do we remake the book?
I feel like we may make this movie and be like, we can do like a Dune. This is the David Lynch version.
But none of the characters are from the book.
Yeah, but we could add them in with the book, right?
How about we keep the names of the characters in this movie?
No, the names were the worst.
But we say they're closer to the characters in the book. Even though the characters in the book have different names.
We're still calling him Hell Tanner, though.
Ah, fine. We can change it to Hell Tanner.
Yeah. But only in the movie. You don't have to mention that in your blurb thing, because we're remaking this movie. But in the movie, his nickname or something is Hell Tanner.
His name is Jake Hell Tanner.
Yeah. But instead of him being named that at birth, which is probably better.
Yeah.
But... In our movie, he's just called Hell Tanner because he's that guy who can go through hell to get things for you. That's his thing. Probably still not make him a Nazi, though. We can make him a bad guy, though.
We'll make him a bad guy.
He's like a biker, right?
Yeah.
We can make him, like, less of a good character. He's like... and he tries to be a bad guy. He was a biker gang leader, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't have to be a fucking Nazi, though.
Okay, how about...
He's like a biker with a heart of gold, right?
Yeah.
He's trying to be bad, but also he just, like, does good things because, you know, he's a person. And that's where he can clash with the Colonel sometimes. Is like, the Colonel will do the right thing by the law or the letter, you know, following orders. Where the biker's like, no, that's wrong. We shouldn't, like, leave these people behind. We should help them, save them.
I agree.
And maybe that's where they get the kid or the other thing. Like, the colonel's like, leave the kid. He clearly doesn't want to be saved. We gotta go. And the biker's like, nah, fam. I'm gonna go rescue that kid. He doesn't know that we're here to save him. It's not his fault that he's piffing rocks at us.
Yeah.
Like, have a bit more conflict between those characters, right?
Okay, I've got two options for you then.
Okay.
Play more into him being a bad guy, looks like a biker, Travis Fimmel, who's the main character in Vikings.
Oh, okay.
He's the main guy in Vikings. Yeah.
He's cool. I'd like him.
I like him.
Him in a leather jacket does give a bit of a vibe.
Yeah, and he's in the Dune TV show that's coming out at the end of the
year. Oh, yeah,
about
the
start of the Bene Gesserit or whatever.
Oh, that's cool.
He's also Australian, which is cool. My other option is Jason Momoa.
I feel like that's a bit, like, too on the nose.
He's a bit too likable.
Yeah. He's also a bit too big. He's not, like, your classic biker sort of thing.
That's true.
He's just a big guy. And, as you said, he's a bit too lovable to be...
Yeah.
Because I want him to be, like... I was thinking almost like a Brad Pitt... You know what I mean?
Yeah. He's a bit too old, I think, but also...
Brad Pitt's a bit too old. Vibe. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like
an Adam Driver.
He can be, like, just a bad guy, but he can also be a good guy, you know? That's what I want. I want, like, Adam Driver's not bad.
Adam Driver's a good pick as well.
Like, but yeah, essentially, he's, like, he's a mean guy. He's a bad guy.
Jared Leto.
I hate you. Shut the fuck up.
He is a bad guy.
Yeah, but we don't need a fucking that guy. I don't want to give that guy any acting time ever. Fuck that guy.
I think I like the guy from Vikings the most.
Yeah. I think the Viking guy is cool. But then you have this whole thing where it's like he will just do good things. It doesn't matter what he's told.
Exactly.
He's a rule breaker. So he's like, well, we got to save this kid. because that's obvious to him, because that's a good thing.
Yes.
But then the colonel's like, nah, we can't waste resources. We can't waste fuel of the bike.
Yeah.
We just got to keep going. We could have it do, they're doing more of the vaccine thing. I think you have our original group of actors from this film, but instead of the base blowing up or whatever, they have to deliver the vaccine because that makes more sense. That makes
it way more interesting.
Yeah, and that gives them a motivation which needs to keep them going, which is why they're going through this hardship, right?
Yeah. I agree. That would be, yes.
And so what happens is they need to send the biker guy, right? Yes. They need to send Hal Tanner because he's the only guy who could do it. But the colonel doesn't trust him.
So he comes with him.
So he comes with him, right? Yes. And of course, the best friend of the biker guy comes with him because he's like, I'm not going to be left here on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could have that random other guy tries to come with them, but he dies.
Yeah.
Or something.
For sure.
Or he could not come with it. Who cares? Doesn't matter. He wasn't really in the film.
Okay, so then other cast members, if we're keeping the main crew, the major then, Eugene Denton, older guy, Sam Elliott would be perfect, but he's way too old.
It's too bad Sean Connery's dead, because...
Sean Connery, I'm a bad
Sean Connery.
Boy.
Slap a woman.
Oh, what's his name? Kevin Costner.
Oh, yeah. I was actually thinking Mel Gibson, actually.
But he is a Nazi. He's like Nazi adjacent.
Oh, okay.
He's anti-Semitic.
Who are you saying just
Kevin
before?
Costner. He's in a show called Yellowstone, and I was just like, what's like a Western guy? He's a new Western guy.
Kevin Costner would actually be good. He'd just be good general vibes. I like that. Yeah.
I like him.
Put him in.
Cool. Do Kevin. It. Kevin Costner.
I've seen him in a few things, I think.
Yeah, he's in heaps of stuff. He's in Waterworld, which I want to review at some point.
Yeah.
He's
good. I like him as the, like, tough colonel guy who's by the book sort of thing, you know?
I agree. My thoughts for the kid is we swap out the kid. Not a young boy. I want a young girl. I want Nico Parker, who plays Joel's daughter in the first episode of The Last of Us TV show that came out last year. She's really good. I think she's...
Oh, yeah!
She's in the new How to Train Your Dragon as well.
I could see that. Yeah. She's pretty cool.
Who is she playing in How to Train Your Dragon? She's playing Astrid in the live-action How to Train Your Dragon.
There you go. She's cool. I like that as well, as the, like, tough survivalist sort of thing.
Yeah. It's kind of like my... The first person who, like, popped into my head, I was like, you've got the gruff biker.
Yeah.
We need something.
Yeah.
A bit more of, like, a, you know.
Something that can, like, cool him off a bit.
Yeah.
He has to, like, be responsible and cool because he needs to protect this girl.
Yes.
Because the colonel doesn't want to.
Exactly.
So he becomes a sort of, like, reluctant dad figure for her.
Yeah.
Because he has to, otherwise she's gonna die.
Exactly.
And he's like, well, obviously I need to do this. Yeah. Because... He is secretly, like, a good guy. He just acts bad, you know.
I can't believe that David Tennant's not in the live-action How to Train Your
David
Dragon.
David Tennant, yeah.
They've kept the dad, though. The guy who voices the dad in the animated movie playing the dad in...
Oh, that's funny. I didn't know that. There you go.
Which is pretty fun. And also, our favorite young Kiwi from Deadpool's in it. That's pretty fun.
Yeah! That'd be good. I love that boy. Yeah. He's great.
He's so good. Okay,
I love him in Wilder People.
He's so funny.
Yeah, he's great.
Keegan, the best friend.
Oh, the guy.
Best friend.
There's Don Cheadle?
Yeah,
he's the iron... Yeah, War Machine. That's it. Yeah.
Don Cheadle's pretty good.
He'd be alright.
He always plays like military guys too.
Yeah. Oh, not necessarily. Not in everyone's favorite remake of Space Jam, where he was the villain, right?
I forgot about that.
Yeah. I just remembered that.
What was his name? Algae Rhythm.
Oh, Algae Rhythm. Oh my god, I forgot that.
Don Cheadle's a good pick. I like Don Cheadle.
That's funny.
Because he's like a bit older as well. Like he's the same age as Kevin Costner, so having him be good friends with the biker is kind of funny.
Yeah, because he's just a chill guy.
Yeah.
He can be like the like wise older man. You know?
Yeah.
He's not military, he's wise in just like, hey, you need to chill out, you know?
And he's also really
play
funny.
A bit of chess. Yeah. I could imagine him doing a bit of art in his free time, and they're like, we gotta go, and it's like, hold on, just chill out, like, what's going to happen if we wait 5 more minutes?
Exactly.
Nothing. You know, it's not going to change anything, right? He, you know, that's a great dynamic because you've got the guy who the commander kind of respects.
Yeah.
Who they play chess.
Yeah.
Right? They're friends, but the colonel's not friends with the other guy. So it's like he's the one that keeps the colonel from like kicking hell's ass,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
He's the one that keeps them together. But when he dies, then it's like, oh shit, the glue that was sticking them together is gone. Now they're really button heads.
Yeah.
But that's when you get like the woman or the kid or whatever. Maybe that's when they find the kid and then they're fighting over like the sort of thing.
I like that.
And the Helldiver guy can be like, he's like, we gotta save this kid. This is what he would have wanted, right?
Mm.
And the other guy's like, you don't know what he would have wanted, you know, that sort of thing. You know, they can have their big fight.
I like that.
Who's our female lead?
I was thinking Kate Winslet. She looks like the actor that was in the
original. She does. Yeah. She's pretty good.
I don't know.
Who's she been in? Oh, Titanic.
Titanic, obviously. Yeah.
Oh, she was in the new Avatar as well. There you go. She's good.
Oh, yeah, she was. She was the water leader, and she learned to hold her breath for, like, 20 minutes or some shit for the movie.
That's funny. Did she? Really?
Something like that, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty impressive.
Because she almost drowned in Titanic.
Yeah.
James Cameron almost drowned her, so she's like, nice. I guess I'll learn how to...
Fucking hell, she's been water-typed.
For real? She has.
We have to have her nearly drown in the tsunami scene.
Done. She's in it.
She's in it so she can hold her breath for 20 minutes.
That's very funny.
When she gets stuck outside.
Yeah.
When the tsunami hits and they have to save her.
Who could direct this? Zack Snyder!
Schneiderverse! Nitty gritty and dark. Oh, and we got to have lots more monsters in this one.
Oh, yeah, way more monsters.
So you got your giant lizards, your butterflies. We could have the cockroaches. I like the flesh-eating cockroaches.
I like them.
I want, like a giant shark or some
Whoa,
shit.
In the water thing. Yeah. Like a Meg.
Yeah, we get a Meg, which is, like, terrifying.
Who directed the Meg?
Yeah, now we're fucking talking.
Oh, that was John Turteltaub, who also directed National Treasure.
Pog! Actually, kind of based pick, because you could have it. One of the big things is they have to, like, dodge these giant monsters that have mutated in the thing. I like that. I could see him doing it.
I can see him doing it, too, because it's kind of silly.
Yeah.
You know what? Fuck it. Purely for the giant shark and also the fact that he's pretty good at National Treasure. John Turteltaub.
I'm pretty keen on that.
Cool. All right. Well, that's our remake of Damnation Alley, but we're going to be calling it Survival Run.
Survival Run. That's pretty good. I like that.
And that is the entire episode done and dusted. And thank you for listening.
Yeah.
And you're cool, actually.
Whoa. Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Oh, not you. The listeners.
Oh.
Yeah. Fuck
well, that's
you,
true.
Actually. You are the opposite of cool.
Whoa. I am quite warm at the moment. It's hot outside.
And we couldn't have done this episode without the new addition to our studio, Zach.
Oh, yeah. We've got an on-air sign.
We've got a neon on-air sign that's currently sitting.
To let the one other person in this house know that we are on
air. We are on air.
Except they're the one that plugged it in.
They're the one that bought it.
Very based.
Very cool. That's right. We are updating our setup. I've ordered new microphones and a new mixer.
Yeah, when are they getting here?
No fucking clue. I think the mixer got shipped today, but the microphones, still no ETA on those. I think I might have gotten fucked over, actually.
Yeah, you got scammed.
Might have to get a refund, but we got an on-air sign, so.
Damn.
Yeah. But actually, thank you to the listeners.
Yeah, thanks, listeners. Thank you for listening. If you want to support the show, leave a review, leave a like, tell your friends. Go like, hey, this is a pretty good show.
Yeah.
We always appreciate it.
We always appreciate
it. If you want to financially support us, you can go to our Patreon.
Patreon.com/oldiebutagoodiepod. Zach, what's the new bonus episode?
New bonus episode on Madam Web.
Fuck me.
Madam Web, what a wonderful movie that everyone enjoyed that went to see it.
And that's a bit of a longer bonus episode too, so...
That's a bonus episode because I angry rant in it.
It's a real fun one.
Yeah, you angry rant in it.
We both ate such
it's
a
bad
angry
film.
Rant movie.
I don't even think we mentioned the bit where... No, we did.
Which one?
No, we did. I was going to mention the mum bit, but we did mention that.
Yeah. Just we covered it pretty well, actually.
Oh, my God.
We covered the whole movie pretty well. So that's up there with ad-free bonus episodes and all the stuff. Patreon, link in the episode. Description, Zach, you're picking.
Picking next week.
Picking 1978.
Ooh, 1978.
And immediately, straight off the bat, the animated Lord of the Rings.
Oh, true. I've always wanted to watch those films.
Me too. Because they took all three books and they made a 2-hour movie out of it. I want to see how the fuck they did that.
But Sandro, what about Superman?
We've already done Superman 4, though.
Original. Okay, all right. Well, not Superman then. What about Piranha?
I was looking at Piranha. Parody of Jaws, but with Piranha.
Yeah, that's funny.
That's pretty good, but if you're going to go for a horror film, the original Halloween, Zach. Slasher.
No, but I've got a way more horrifying movie than
what
that.
What is it?
Watership Down.
That's pretty
one of the most horrifying films of all time, I think.
There's The Wiz, which is Wizard of Oz, but it's I hate using the word because it's kind of racist, but it's urban.
Oh.
Urban. It's The Wiz.
What about Grease? Bit of Grease Lightning.
I like Grease. I've never seen it, but I like the songs.
I like Grease. Never seen it.
No, but I like Grease.
I've seen Grease. You haven't seen Grease?
I haven't seen Grease.
It's all right.
There's a random movie here called Going South. I know nothing about it, but the poster is Jack Nicholson grinning through a noose.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's
a
criminal. He's about to be executed, but he's spared or some shit. It's just a random Western, but that poster really got my attention, I'll tell you what.
You know what got my attention?
Which one?
Inglourious Bastards.
The Tarantino movie?
Yep.
That didn't come out in 1978.
Oh, no. This is the 1978 The Inglourious Bastards. A group of American soldiers set out on a mission to rob a Nazi prototype weapon. When they realize they're overpowered by the Nazis, they decide to destroy the weapon. I think this is the original.
Ah, the original.
Yep.
That's a pretty good poster.
Yeah.
It looks... Is it Italian?
I don't know what language that is. I have no clue.
That's very interesting.
I just thought it was interesting.
I had no idea that existed.
What about The Cat from Outer Space?
Yeah, I want to watch it. The Cat from Outer Space.
Stupid.
What about Drunken Master?
Ooh.
Classic.
Actually, one of my favorite films of all time.
It's a good
actually.
One.
Actually. Probably my favorite of his films.
Yeah.
Because I love the idea that you get drunk and then you can do kung fu better.
It's very funny.
But no, Sandro.
Yes.
There's lots of good options.
It's true.
There's War of the Robots. The Alien Factor. The Swarm.
The Swarm.
Yeah. Lots of sci-fi horrors. But there's one that stands out. One that is better than all of them combined, I feel.
Which one is it?
And one that I need to see.
You need to see it.
Not a want. Not a desire, a need.
A need. Invasion of the Body Snatchers, is it that one?
Close, Sandro. But just slightly to the left, I want to watch Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Ooh!
Yeah! In a spoof of a low-budget sci-fi films, oozing tomatoes go on the rampage, splattering innocent victims.
I've always wanted to watch this.
Yeah.
I've known about it for ages.
It's like a parody of Attack of the Killer Plants or something, sort of like parodying the goofy horror movies, but yeah, giant killer tomatoes.
Hell yeah.
Because the thing is, I know for a fact this isn't going to be like Frogs.
It's the opposite of Frogs.
Yeah, where I'm expecting a corny film.
That's right.
And it's just like a boring ass regular film. No, this I know for a fact is like a corny, stupid film because it's designed to be.
Exactly.
And we're going to get some silly tomato killing.
All right, let's do Attack of the Killer Tomatoes next week on the podcast.
Yeah.
And Zach, speaking of Damnation Alley.
We weren't talking about that. We finished up with that conversation like 5 minutes
ago. Speaking of, and as you know, we watched it.
Yeah, we did watch that film. That is a correct statement.
Would you like a rest before we go on to the next movie?
Oh, a rest. Yeah. I could do with a nap right about now. I'm really tired. I don't know if I want to sleep here, though. This is LA, you know? This is LA. Well, we could drive off into the sunset, you know, and have a nice...
You know what? Let's do that.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got my Landmaster
fidget
spinner, the wheel car right
here. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, nice.
Let's hop into it.
Ugh. Yeah. Oh, well, it's more spacious than it seems.
And I'm going to start driving.
Oh, that's good. I'm going to have a nice nap while you do this because there's beds in the back. Oh, this is perfect. There are beds in the back. Why didn't we do this before?
We should have recorded in here without all the background noise of eagles and shit that was happening because we were recording out in the Nevada desert.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Anyway. That's right. You make yourself comfortable back there.
Feel nice and rich.
Now, in the movie Damnation Alley, the Landmaster has autopilot. But mine has auto time travel.
Oh, God, what are you doing?